We'll go to Revelation chapter 5, and we'll read verses 9 and 10. Well, we'll start with verse 8 and read through verse number 10, and teach tonight from verses 9 and 10. We're in Revelation chapter 5, reading verses 8 through 10. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let's pray. Father, I ask a blessing upon those who are here tonight, and I ask that you would bless your word. And I pray that you would help me to teach it. And Father, I pray that you would do something with your word tonight. I pray that it would not return void, but accomplish whatever you would have it to accomplish, whether it's here tonight with these people, or those who may watch later on Ustream, or those who may watch on sermon audio. Father, I pray your word would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we concentrated on the three elements of worship, as we've seen in verse number 8. We spoke about the posture of worship. The Bible says here that the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And I spoke about the posture of both body and soul, both our body and our heart. The second element of worship we looked at last Wednesday was the praise. They had every one of them harps. The harps were for praise. And we talked last week about how praise should be joyful and sincere. And then the third element of worship that we looked at last week out of verse number 8 is the prayer. The Bible says, which are the prayers of the saints. These vials of odors are the prayers of the saints. And we mentioned that prayer is right prayer and true prayer is pleasing to the Lord. It is sweet to the Lord. And these are three of the elements of worship as seen in Revelation 5 and verse number 8. Next, John tells us of the song that they sang. They fell down before the Lamb with their harps and their vials, and they sang a song. And that's what we'll deal with tonight, is the song that they sang. Let's read verses 9 and 10 again. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth. Now tonight I want us to look at the subjects of this song. All right, I want to look at this song and what has been sung here, and what it is that they are conveying. The first thing I want us to notice is John says that they had sung a new song. A new song. I don't suppose that we could ever guess how many different songs of praise and worship are in heaven's collection. I don't suppose that we could ever determine that. How many different songs of praise and worship are in heaven's collection. But this song in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, is a brand new song. It has been written and sung just for this occasion. the occasion of the Lamb taking the book from he that sat on the throne, and the occasion of the one that is to open the seals thereof. This is a brand new song written and sung just for this occasion. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, throughout both Old and New Testaments, there are many verses that speak about new songs. New songs. I know pastors and thereby churches today that reject any type of new song of praise. I know pastors and thereby churches who reject any new song of worship. I know a man who in his church, they only sing songs that are over 100 years old. And I came across this information years ago, and it struck me as odd. And I went through the songbook and looked at the dates of a lot of songs, and I sent an email and said, listen, here in about 5 years, this song will be, you can sing this song in your church, because it's soon to hit 100, you know. And I thought it was silly, and I still do think it is silly that's the criteria, that it has to be 100 years old. But let me say this. I do understand. And let me say this. I do get it. I understand. I get it. Most of the older songs have more weight. They have much more doctrine. They have more meat, and they have more meaning than a lot of the newer songs. I get it. I get it. A lot of the old songs are heavier, meatier, weightier, have more doctrine. But let me say this. Not all new songs are shallow. And who says that every song of praise and worship must be as deep as a seminarian's doctrinal thesis? Who says that every song has to be a deep, deep doctrinal song? I have to believe that God is pleased with every new song of praise and worship that is written and sung, provided that it speaks nothing but biblical truth. I have to believe that God is pleased with every new song of praise and worship that is written and that is sung, as long as it speaks of nothing but biblical truth. So what I want to point out tonight is this was a new song. And we see mention of new songs in the Old Testament. And we see mention of new songs in the New Testament. And so new songs are not always wrong. And I don't think that you ought to reject a song just because of the date that it was written. I think you ought to take each song individually and determine whether it speaks of truth and whether it is true. Now, secondly tonight, I want to start to look at the subject of this new song. First of all, they acknowledge in it, the very first thing that they do in this song is they acknowledge the worthiness of Jesus. The worthiness of Jesus to take the book and to open it. They sing, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." This is the heart of the new song. The worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember in verses 2 and 3, this is exactly what heaven was searching for. This is exactly what the strong angel declared. They were looking for someone who was worthy to take the book and to open it. And as this brief song progresses, we'll see the different reasons that they give for his worthiness to take this book and to open it. But before we go forward, let me lead you tonight into a little spiritual exercise. What are your reasons? We're going to look here at their reasons for his worthiness to take the book. A spiritual exercise tonight is this. What are your reasons? What are your reasons for the Lord's worthiness? Is He worthy of your obedience? If you say yes, then I would say why. Why is the Lord worthy of your obedience? Is He worthy of your worship? You say, yes, preacher, the Lord is worthy of my worship. Why? I think that you ought to be able to just say more than Jesus is worthy of my obedience. Jesus is worthy of my worship. I'm going to ask you why. Why is He worthy? Is He worthy of your love and devotion? If He is, why is He worthy of your love and devotion? Let me ask you this tonight. Is Christ worthy enough for you to seek His will? Is He worthy enough for you to seek His guidance? Is Christ worthy enough for you to follow Him with your life? Is He worthy enough for you to seek to please Him with your life? Is Jesus Christ worthy enough for you to honor Him? I think that it's just not enough to say the Lord is worthy. I think that you ought to know why He is worthy. I think you ought to know many reasons why you believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be worthy of your obedience, worthy of your worship, worthy of your love and devotion. And if you say that He is He worthy enough that you would seek His will and that you would seek His guidance and that you would follow Him with your life and that you would please Him? Is He worthy enough for that? Maybe tonight you think that God the Father and God the Son is not worthy of your affection and not worthy of your devotion. Of course, if that's how you feel tonight, I wonder what you are even doing here. They first of all in their song declare that He is worthy. And then they go on to declare why He is worthy. First of all, He is worthy. We see here in this song, well, I'll list the reasons and then we'll look at them individually. He is worthy to take the book and He is worthy to open the book, first of all, because He was slain. Secondly, He is worthy to take the book and to open the book because He has redeemed. They said He has redeemed us to God by His blood. The third reason that they sing that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is worthy to take the book and open the book is because He had made them kings and priests. They're making the case in this song how and why Jesus Christ, the Lamb, was worthy and able to redeem this earth back for His people. Why? What I see here is that they say He is worthy because He was slain. You see that? Verse number 9. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain. Past tense. They are singing to someone who is now alive. They are praising and worshiping someone who is now alive. And they're saying to this one who is alive, who is standing, they're saying to him, thou art worthy because thou wast slain. It's a pretty good reason to deem Christ worthy, is it not? He died and now He is alive. The one who has power over life and death is able and worthy to deal with what is ahead. I believe that's what they're saying in this brief song. I believe that is what they are saying. Thou art worthy because thou wast slain. They are talking to someone who is standing there very much alive. And I believe what they are indicating is that you are worthy. You are worthy to deal with what is ahead because you have power over life and death. You died and then you rose again. Because of that power over life and death, thou art worthy to take this book and to open the seals and to deal with what is ahead. And what is ahead is life and death. Secondly, they declare that he is worthy because not only that he was dead and now is alive, but they declare that he is worthy because he redeemed men from every corner of the earth. First of all, the fact that he redeemed men. The fact that Jesus Christ the Lamb, who was dead and now is alive, the fact that he redeemed men. An act of great power and authority. Look, if you will, hold your place here, obviously, in Revelation chapter 5, and go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 1 to 6. And he entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or say arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick and the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Jesus Christ has the power to raise a man from his lameness, to heal a man from his crippledness, and he has the power and authority to forgive a man of his sins. And so when they are saying that Jesus Christ the Lamb is worthy to take the book and to open the seals, they are saying that he is worthy because he was dead and now he's alive. He has power over life and death. But they are saying that he is worthy because he has power over sin and over Satan. He has the power to redeem men. He has the power to forgive men. He has the power to save men. He has the power to free men from the slavery of sin and to free men from the slavery of Satan. He's got that power. Secondly, the fact that he redeemed men with his own blood. He himself paid the greatest and ultimate price for the redemption of sinners. This is the second point here. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof because you've redeemed men from every corner of the earth. You have the power and authority to redeem men, to save men, to forgive men. And you did it with your own blood. And thirdly, you redeem men from every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation. the only one that has the power over sin and sinners and Satan. He is the one that is able and worthy to deal with what is ahead. This new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. Why? Because thou wast dead. Thou wast dead. Thou wast slain. But now you're alive. You have power over life and death. You're worthy. Why? Because you've redeemed men. You've got the power and authority to save men, to forgive men, to free them from bondage of sin and Satan. And you did it. You did it with your own blood, with your own life. And you did it everywhere, in every corner of the globe. Every people, every kindred, every tongue, every nation. You have the power over life and death. You have the power over sin and sinners. And then the third reason that they give for his worthiness. Now this is just why he is worthy to take the book and open the book. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has worthiness, many other things that he is worthy of, many other things that we could say about his worthiness, many other things that he is worthy enough to do. There is a lot when we begin to delve into the worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he is worthy to do and why he is worthy. The subject is endless. But we're dealing in this short song with why he is worthy to take the book. Thirdly, because it is he that has appointed men as kings and priests. Think about this for a moment. There is one who appoints kings. Think about that for a moment. There is one who appoints kings. The Bible says that he raises them up, he puts them down, and he turns their heart wherever he wants to turn it. There is one who appoints kings. There is one who puts kings on the throne. And there is one who takes kings from the throne. And there is one who puts kings out to pasture. Nebuchadnezzar. Think about this for a moment. There is one who appoints priests. And the one who has the power to take men who were enslaved by sin, the one that has the power to take men that were enslaved by Satan and to redeem them with his own blood and then to rise from the dead and appoint those same men as kings and some as priests unto God, he alone is able and worthy to deal with what lies ahead. He alone is able and worthy to deal with what lies ahead. And what the greater part of Revelation is about is the redemption of this earth back to God's people. And who is more worthy to do that than the one that has the power of life and death? Who is more worthy to do that than one that has the power over sin and sinners and Satan? And who is more worthy to do that than the one who sets up kings and puts into place priests unto God? I submit to you that no one is worthy like Jesus Christ. And this is the song. And this is what the song was meant to convey. Let's pray. Now, Father, this has been very brief, much briefer than I intended. But we've, I believe, exalted you tonight and lifted you high, honored you, worshiped you. And I pray that your blessings would be upon this message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.